This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.
You are tuned in to Due North News on CIFA Radio 88.7 FM, The Fur.
Hello, Radioland. I'm your host, Ian Gregg, on this edition of Due North News. The Northern BC Queer Connection Society is a nonprofit here in Prince George, Claylie-Tanay. It's on a bit of a roll, hosting its first conference this fall, September 2025. Now, building on the strength of that 2SLGBTQIA+ event, the organization is hosting the Voices and Culture Summit, Friday, February 27th, 2026. Executive Director of the Northern BC Queer Connection Society, or NBCQCS, Laura Bennett, joins us in the CIFR studio today. Welcome, Laura. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This question is twofold, but for listeners who may not be familiar with your nonprofit, what does the Northern BC Queer Connection Society seek to do, and what do you hope to achieve with the Voices in Culture Summit coming up February 27th, 2026?
Yeah, what we seek to do with the summit in particular is provide a learning opportunity for the community to just kind of connect and celebrate. So this is a place for people who are queer to have their voices heard and just kind of reach out to the community and say, hey, this is our experience and we want to celebrate it with you and we want you to kind of be part of the celebration and learn about what it means to be a queer person in this very unique landscape. And I think it's just really a great opportunity for the community to kind of be a part of that celebration and to learn directly from queer people because our voices matter. And this is, again, it's a very unique place to be queer. Mm-hmm. It's very different than it would be down on the coast.
Absolutely. Yeah, Prince George is not Vancouver.
Mm-mm. Very, very different. Yeah, we don't have the same resources. There's a lot more isolation, but it also leads to quite a bit of closeness in our community. We really rely on each other quite a bit more. It's kind of beautiful, too.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
The intention of the Northern BC Queer Connection Society itself, what motivated you to establish this nonprofit?
I'll try not to make this a long story, but in the beginning, there was a little bit of a gap between the Pride celebrations. So throughout the year, you know, we really needed to have a place to come together and find support with each other within the community. And there wasn't really a whole lot. So, you know, we would have small little meetups and it would be like sometimes three people. It would be maybe five people. And we would say, hey, it was word of mouth too. Nobody even advertised on social media. And we'd come together and even just play board games, have a cup of coffee. And it was actually at Cafe Voltaire when that was open.
Right.
Yeah. And then eventually it kind of grew and grew. And I was a part of that original group. And it was kind of passed over to me. And we put it on social media. And yeah, and then we kind of grew from there to events. And I used to be an event planner. So I was like, all right, guys, let's get going. Let's get rocking. So we had more events. And then we outgrew Cafe Voltaire. And, you know, we had meetups and we started doing Pride. So we started doing Pride picnics. It's Pride picnics. PG Pride does the parade. We love them. We work with them closely. But we kind of do the picnic and they do the parade. And that's what started it. And then we had grants. And then we started doing like community capacity building and we became a nonprofit. And so more community capacity building and that kind of stuff. So even though we do Pride celebrations, we also work with the community year round and we assess those gaps and we work with the community to kind of see how we can build those bridges and provide those services or help service providers to provide those services, really, because we're not necessarily a service provider, but.
And it sounds like you're consciously doing a continual analysis of where the gaps are in the community and figuring out how to plug them, how to how to fill them, how to serve the community.
Exactly, exactly. And do we ever have a beautiful community? We really do. I think a lot of people think that we don't have a lot of allies here. They think it's a really, it can be a really rough place. Like the Northern community can be a little bit tough, but we also have a lot of allies here. And I think that people don't hear that enough. And so sometimes people who are queer can be a little scared to be out here. But you know what? We have a lot of people who really love and support us too. So we need to hear that.
Fantastic. It is important to know where you are and who is in your community, which is, you know, part and parcel to your motivation, I imagine, for this event. Mm-hmm. And September, right, saw the first conference of its kind in Northern British Columbia that was that was Serving with Pride, mm-hmm. Inclusive Approaches to 2S LGBTQIA+ Communities. Mm-hmm. Being the first to do something holds the potential of prestige, but also the risk of failure. Mm-hmm. Right? But now that it's over, I think it's safe to say that the September event was a success.
It was.
And yeah. What were some lessons learned there? And what do you want to expand upon or introduce for this February summit?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we really learned there was, hey, we got to market a lot more. We got to get at it a little bit ahead of time more. And I mean, that's with anything, right? And the first event that you have of anything, it's scary, right? Just as the ED of an organization, you're always mm-hmm. learning, you're always growing. We had such a great, we had such great speakers. I mean, we had EGAL came out, right? And that was a big get for us. And I think we just really want to make sure that we get the word out to the community more. And so having, you know, having you folks reach out to us and saying, hey, come talk to us is really wonderful because the community needs to hear what's happening and what's going on. When you have something great like this, people need to hear about it. So yeah, I mean, as an ED, you want to make sure all the logistics are right.
Yeah.
And when you have conferences like that, it's really important. So yeah, but it turned out really well. It was a beautiful, beautiful conference. So yeah.
Did you see it as kind of like a rough draft where you're like, okay, we're experimenting here mm-hmm. and the, you know, fingers crossed, it goes well and then can do it again.
Yes.
And absolutely. Now here we are, February, it's happening again.
It is. Yeah, it is happening again. I think conferences are kind of a new thing for us. We throw a lot of parties. We love throwing parties, you know, we love Pride, we love Spring Fling and all that kind of stuff, but conferences are kind of new. So yeah, it's a different beast for us, but we're loving it so far.
As your organization has grown over the past few years, evolving from Northern BC Queer Cafe, which, correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that was established in around 2018,
yep.
to the Northern BC Queer Connection Society around 2023?
2022, I think.
Yeah, so you've developed a number of community partners along the way. Who are some of the different organizations that are involved mm-hmm. in this iteration of the summit? How are you able to grow these connections over time? It seems like a organic evolution.
So with the summit, we've been working really closely as well with the PG Pride Society. And actually, we did hire really briefly Heather Hillier. She's not here today, but she's on the board for PG Pride. So we created a really strong relationship with them, as I already said.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's really wonderful. You need to have that collaboration between different Pride organizations mm-hmm. to build that strong community. So there's not any division, right? And that can happen with nonprofits.
Yeah.
So we've also been working with the Pride Society here a little bit. And then like generally UNBC, you folks have been so great. Like you've been so wonderful with us. I know. It's so good. And then we've also been working with, and not necessarily with the summit, but just community partners in general. We work with the Blue Pine Clinic and like Foundry, because we have community action tables as well, where I said we're assessing those gaps in care and stuff like that. So just all of these nonprofits and these community service providers, whether it's with the summit or whether it's with the previous conference, they're always usually involved in one way or the other where they're like, hey, you know what, I can lend a hand with this. I know you guys are doing the summit. They might not be involved in the actual day-to-day planning, but they'll kind of pop in, just be like, you guys need something? Here you go. Help you out.
It's critical to have these relationships if you're trying to do anything in any community, but
yeah.
Sure, here in Prince George, that really breaks down some barriers.
Absolutely. And just pop in and say, we also have a speaker from Smithers Pride Society who's going to be coming in. So yeah, there's quite a few different Pride Societies that would be coming in speaking at that, which is really cool because not a lot of people know what the different Pride organizations go through when they're planning the Pride Society. Mm-hmm. They see it happen. They see the event. But when you have the organizers on a panel and hear from them, they, you know, they're talking about this is what it means to organize this event. And that's kind of a different, unique perspective. So it'll be cool.
Very different experience from seeing something and attending something versus organizing and planning it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. The person planning the party isn't always having fun.
You know what, though? Sometimes we really do. On the day of, you're sitting there and you're watching everyone have a good time and you're like, it's nice to see.
It's everyone. A very rewarding experience.
So rewarding.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like the upcoming Voices in Culture Summit isn't wholly academic. Mm-hmm. There's some playtime scheduled in.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. Yeah.
There's a gala that's going to round out the day. Mm-hmm. Got a night market, mm-hmm. film screening plan. What motivated you to bring in these aspects?
Yeah, well, I think like the summit itself is almost kind of like a snapshot of all the things that QC has been doing in the past couple of years, right?
Okay.
And what motivated us is you just got to have some fun after you've been learning and kind of you've got so much stuff in your brain. Go dance. Get that all out of you, right? And we have so many, like, we have so much art in what we do in Prince George. Like, there's so much, whether it's drag, whether it's burlesque, whether it's live music. We do so much of... We bring so much arts and culture in what we do as an organization. So showcasing that is really, really important. And again, it is a kind of a snapshot of what we do. So when you see like the Pride picnic, we have vendors, you know what I mean? We've done artists when we had our art show. So we have the art gallery that kind of reflects our art show. We have the market that reflects what we had at the picnic. We have the drag and burlesque that reflects what we had at the spring fling. We have the fashion show that's coming out, which kind of reflects the clothing swap. It's just a whole lot of different functions and just different ways that people have kind of played and been entertained at our other events, and they can do that at the summit. It's going to be fun.
It's like not a little, but kind of a big mosaic of all these mm-hmm. bits and pieces that the organization conducts over the year.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's going to be a blast, yeah. Oh, I was going to say, though, you're talking about the screening. Mm-hmm. It's actually a little bit more of a teaser because it is a documentary that we are producing with Six Sigma, who is amazing.
Okay, locally produced.
Yes, it's locally produced. Six Sigma, by the way, I highly recommend these people. They're so good. Very good at what they do. And it is about life as a queer person in Northern BC. And it's about history, the history of queer people in Northern BC. So it won't be really a screening. It's going to be a teaser. And that's to come. It'll kind of be released further down the road. We're looking at like maybe August.
Okay.
So yeah, and I could be wrong on that. You know, I haven't seen the full timeline in a while, so it might get pushed a little bit. But
right. Yeah,
definitely come see it when it's out, because I will be crying at that screening.
So. Awesome. Fantastic. Well, you know, too bad. You know, we want to see you laughing, but...
I'll be laughing too. I'll be laughing too, but...
Yeah, there's heavy stuff in there. It's real life.
Yeah, it's real life. You know, it's just really emotional and impactful, which is like anyone's experience in life, right? So...
For those unfamiliar, the Pride Picnic typically takes place annually in July, Rainbow Park, and I've witnessed growing attendance year over year. How does your nonprofit organization sustain itself, operate to do these? You know, is it fundraising? Is it government grants? How do you make it work day to day? What pushes the wheels forward? Is it just human gumption?
Always human gumption, of course. I mean, we're really, that's the motor, right? That gets it going. As I'm sure that you know, operating CIFR. A big part of it, though, too, is grants. And then we have a lot of people in the community who just help us raise money, right? Originally, we were using the Spring Fling to help us raise some money. This year, unfortunately, we're not going to be doing the Spring Fling because I will be so tired after the summit. But we're applying for a lot of grants this year, too, right? So grants and fundraising are a big thing. So, hey, if we have a fundraiser going on, people, please come out and support us, because we got to make sure that the Pride Picnic is thriving, right? So a lot of grants, they're very helpful, and the city has been really, really helpful with the grant money that they've given us. So,
Prince George Clalie Tinay is not necessarily known for being a safe haven of 2S LGBTQIA plus spaces, perhaps quite the opposite, which, if I understand correctly, is part of the motivation for organizing this summit. It's to strengthen the community. While our city is home to a lot of conservative values, that doesn't mean that this event is intended to be exclusionary or bar people from wanting to learn more. You don't have to know everything about queer culture in order to attend and participate. Would you agree that if one of our listeners hears about this event and is curious, they should take the risk of attending and using the opportunity to get further educated and meet some good people in the community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why we're planning it, right? It's a learning opportunity. So, you know what? As long as you're coming and your heart is open and you're being kind, like, come on over, ask questions, and just be part of the whole event and the whole opportunity to just be a part of this community, because we're all here to learn, we're all here to love, and this is the perfect place to learn. So, yes, that's why we did this. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have anybody hooked in who's mm-hmm. listening, how can they get tickets? How can they enter the summit?
Yeah, just go to voicesculture@eventbrite.ca. It is on Eventbrite. It's also on our Facebook page. You can find it. And honestly, I think I put it everywhere. So
discounted rooms at the Prestige Hotel.
Yes. Yeah, I love the Prestige. They got a great gym in there too, if you like to work out. They've been great partners to us as well.
And thank you so much for coming into C4 Studio.
Yeah.
Wishing you luck at the upcoming summit February 27th, 2026. That's a Friday, folks.
Thank you for having me.
This Absolutely. Is Ian Gregg reporting for C4 Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.